Now, in conversation with the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilley. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1.
Radio 1 with Sean Tilley.
And look who's here.
Robbie Benson on Sunday night.
If it moves, funk it.
You are very welcome, sir.
Hi, Sean. It's nice to be here because I hope very much that you know more about me than I know about myself. In fact, I know you know more about me than I know about myself.
That jingle at the beginning there, If It Moves, Funk It, is, I mean, you had lots of famous jingles and voiceovers back in the day, but is that the most famous?
Most famous, I think, it's the one that everybody knows. And it originated from a listener who, and I can't, it was on a postcard or a letter, because these were the days where people wrote to each other, and I still do. I like nothing like a letter. It was a punter, and he's never put his hands up and said, "Oh, Robbie, you know, you nicked that off me." I think he might have partially said it, and I added a bit to it. You know, yeah. I know it's only If It Moves, Funk It, only a few words. But yes, everybody relates to that. And I meet people, and they say to me, "If it moves, funk it." And I say, yeah, why not?
You must have heard it a million times, having said that, over the years.
Yes, but then I move on. I've now got a collection of, who have I got? I've got Bobby Womack, a whole host of them saying things slightly different. I'm quite proud of those as well. Chaka Khan. The list goes on and on and on, which I treasure, but I suppose If It Moves, Funk It would be in my top 10.
Before radio, though, you were in newspaper journalism, first of all.
Yeah, right? my first job was a tea boy at the People newspaper, and the editor there felt sorry for me and sent me to day school, so I learned to read and write a bit more, because these were the days when you left school at 15. And then I got a job with a news agency, again, a glorified tea boy, and learnt some journalism there, hard journalism, and I got a job, and I still regard it as one of my luckiest breaks, on the London Evening Standard. And I mean, I did the Cray trial, I did the Christine Keeler case, or I was in Northern Ireland during the early troubles, and boy oh boy was that an education. And adopted in Northern Ireland by some fine journalists who looked after it, because I was a very young man, but I learned a lot very quickly. And from then on the Evening Standard, I was in a bar. I didn't drink alcohol at all. I was in a bar where journalists from the Evening Standard would go, and I looked at a guy who was not very old, but he had aged with booze, and I thought, you know what, I don't want Fleet Street to turn me into an old man before I should be. And I moved to the BBC, and again, I was amazed they gave me a job.
For the next hour, we're going to bring you a sound picture of how we see London. It'll also give you an idea about some of the ingredients we hope to include in our programmes. Everything from the noisy arguments at Speaker's Corner to the hushed voices you hear around the art galleries. Listen with us now, and you'll hear a little of what we mean when we say, this is BBC Radio London, 95.3 VHF, your own station.
This is October 1970.
Well, when Radio London.
Yeah, BBC Radio London.
I was one of the early posse, and I thought, surely, you know, someone who speaks like me is not going to be allowed on the BBC. But they were very flexible, and I had a journalistic background, and they wanted journalists, and that's how I started broadcasting.
When was it when you had your own programme, first of all? Was it within a year or two of that?
It was, and I can't remember the date, the big time was when we had the 3-day week.
About 1973, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. And it then enabled me to be one of the pioneers of telephone talk. I thought what we need now is a talk show.
And a good Monday afternoon to you. Welcome along to 486-7744. We'll be hooking live with News 74 KCBS in San Francisco in just a little while. And you can be heard both in San Francisco and indeed here in London. We're going to be looking at the media, so if you've been personally involved in a story, maybe you've been interviewed, you'd like to tell me how the newspapers, radio or TV interpret it, if you'd like to be one of the first on the programme.
And it was so popular, you know, we used to knock out whole exchanges. Mm. And the people who ran it then, the post office, said, well, no, that's not possible. I said, it is possible. And we did. And you used to get multi people all on the same line. And they used to have their own little clubs. Yeah. Radio London Club. I mean, I never heard what they were talking about. But there would be up to 20 people on the same line.
You had this music show on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday lunchtime. And initially, it was a pop playlist. You know, it would have been exciting times. All the glam rock was happening at that time. You had people like David Cassidy, Donny Osmond. But slowly but surely, you started to play more soul and funk. And of course, yeah, it was an exciting time for that kind of music in those days as well. This was initially, I mean, I have the benefit of us chatting before we came on air with this programme today, but it was an hour at first, right?
Yes.
The Robbie Vincent Show. What's out, funk's about on Radio London.
It's the Beckenham Transit Express, the one that speeds you here and speeds you there.
Fortunately, Radio London was being run by somebody who knew nothing about music, thank goodness, and I got more or less left alone. Roscoe used to get all the great exclusives. Yeah. So what I used to do is get my left-hand person to record his exclusive, and as soon as he played it, I played it.
Yeah.
And thank you, Radio London, for allowing me to do it.
2.5 minutes to two, and Robbie Benson wish you a funky warm weekend. See you at the Rainbow Rooms above the Manor House in Manor House on Sunday and elsewhere on Tuesday. You're going to finish with a little bit of Rufus. Have a good weekend, won't you? Or perhaps you might even give me a call on the phone-in show next week between 12 and 2. Back next Saturday with more of the best. Be early.
And eventually, you come to the notice for the very first time of National Radio 1, 1977. It was the 30th of April. In that year, 5:31 p.m. following Alan Freeman.
Tonight on transmission between 5:30 and 6:30, we have Robbie Vincent with some soul and disco releases. 6:30 till 7:30, we have Alexis Corner's 50th birthday party, part two.
How did the move to Radio 1 come about?
I honestly can't remember being asked to do the programme. I can remember how pleased I was to be able to do the programme, and I was really pleased to be able to broadcast nationally. And of course, these were the AM days. I mean, it reminds me a bit
247,
yeah. Yeah, it reminded me a bit of Radio Feidenberg, Luxembourg, and just how awful that medium wave signal was. And this was a problem for soul music. And a big problem for soul music, because the makers of pop records were brilliant at it. You know, 2.5 minutes of rubbish, certain beat, certain mix, so it sounded okay on AM radio, which it still does. Yes. You know, great engineers and all the rest. But when it came to a, you know, Sam Cooke voice or a Luther Vandross voice, and these were great voices, it didn't sound so good on AM radio. Definitely not.
New 45 from Eddie Kendry. It's written by a couple of English guys, Bugatti and Musker. I played football with them some time ago. They're dreadful footballers, but they're great songwriters. And that's got a little bit of airplay. Maybe that'll do something for them. It's a double A side. How's Your Love Life is on the other side. Perhaps we'll play that for you in a couple of weeks' time. It's coming up to just before 8 minutes to six.
But then we shared the FM transmitter with Radio 2. And lots of people will have forgotten this. So here I am with this horrible muffled AM going into beautiful FM, where a bit of light jazz would sound great. Mm. But put it on AM. And when I was putting these programmes together, that's something I had to think about. You know, AM, right, now here's the FM bit.
Ooh. Ooh. I got a good thing down here. Radio 1, 247 and Super Stereo FM. Robbie Vincent with you for the next hour. Gonna make you feel funky. Number one on the program, 38 South for the American Soul 100. It's the Funky Fat Mac Band.
And also, you had to have in your mind a national audience. And the musical taste in Devon is nothing like the musical taste in, say, Surrey or Kent or the suburbs or London or Scotland. A huge, huge difference. Yeah. So you had to be aware of that and not be too esoteric, because that missionary bit of me wanted to introduce people to a whole new genre of music.
B.B. King on his soon-to-be-released album on ABC, Midnight Believer. That's the title track. It has Crusaders not only playing on it, but that was part written by Joe Sample. We've got a track coming up from him in a moment. And you can't get away from B.B. King's unique style, can you, despite having the Crusaders around him and all the production and everything else. Super album, another. There's so much good music around. 2 minutes to six, standby motorists.
This was the first time that you worked with the producer Mike Hawkes.
Yeah, and the other thing about Radio 1 that I'm very grateful to is because nobody could program what I played, they left me alone.
What would a producer do in that scenario then?
Well, make sure that everything was properly logged. Dear radio listener, you have no idea the sort of paperwork. Not so much now, but in those days, you know, there was needle time, so you could only play so much and some of it had to be recorded live. It was an utter nightmare. But it all had to be very carefully written down. My Hawkes made sure all that sort of stuff happened, and he would obviously look at what I was going to play, but he would never challenge anything. But he had some ideas of his own, but I was left alone.
The excellent Tower of Power, Loving You Is Gonna See Me Through. It's a CBS 45 out in just a couple of weeks' time, and comes from an album called We Came to Play. And we'll be playing, I'm sure, some of the album over the coming weeks as we move further into the series. And I'm still getting letters from people saying, Robbie, why don't you play some of those American imports you play elsewhere? This is a review of material that is available in the UK, or is soon to be available in the UK, like this one. Silly Bee and the Buzzy Bunch had a big hit, didn't they, with One Love. This is going to be their new single in a few weeks' time.
The original Radio 1 series ran from the spring through to the summer of both 1977 and 78. You continue to do the Daily Phone-In and the Saturday Soul Show on BBC Radio London into the early 80s. And then you began working for Radio 1 again, initially hosting this program. Radio 1 Talk. And you were a natural choice with your journalistic background.
I'd had that training, so that was really useful. And that's what journalism does for you, because you'll be facing issues and problems and subject matter that you couldn't possibly know, and you have to learn it, and you have to learn it quick. So, I mean, that really equipped me to be able to do the talkabouts going around the country, talking to young farmers and goodness knows what.
Yeah, teenagers, people in their early 20s. You were dealing with some pretty gritty stuff at that time, though, weren't you? Because, if we talk about the things that young people were concerned about in those days, we had, they still are now, of course, when you think of animal rights, conservation particularly, evolution versus creation, all that stuff. So, I guess in that respect, it was nice to hear a young voice sharing those views on the air.
My thoughts completely. And all credit to Radio 1, who took it upon themselves to include on a predominantly music station some talk. And I think it was absolutely the right thing to do, but not necessarily a commercial station would have had a problem in doing that, because it wouldn't be money making. Probably isn't audience grabbing, but the one thing, the advantage the BBC has, and Radio 1 used that advantage to actually do some things that had to be done in engaging a younger
public
audience.
Service broadcasting.
Public service, yeah.
Hi,
Hi, this is Robbie Vinson with news of a new sound for Sunday night on Radio 1. It's going to be funky, it's going to be jazzy, and it's going to be soulful too. Join me at 9 for the new sound on Sunday night. 275, 285 and Stereo VHF. It's this Sunday for the first day of funk.
So, a full-time Radio 1 DJ, long last. But this was a very different scenario, wasn't it? Because you were there on the station every week, working alongside some very big names. That first programme was the 1st of January 1984.
I didn't know it was January the 1st. I was very lucky that I would arrive at Radio 1 to broadcast at a time where all the egos had been blown away. You know, security had gone round with a great big machine. So all the egos were gone.
With the time on Radio 1 at 9 o'clock, it's time to welcome for the first time Robbie Vinson to Radio 1 on New Year's night.
Yeah, Annie Nightingale, thank you for such a warm welcome to Radio 1.
Our pleasure.
Have a nice 84, won't
you? Thank you. You too. 275-285 and Stereo VHS.
But it was the biggest ever, probably, radio station full of rock stars.
Starting as we mean to go off, the first day of a brand new year and a new Sunday night sound on Radio 1, Luther Vandross. And that's from his album Busybody. Made a good single, that, as well. And that album due out early in 1984. We're going to be funky, we're going to be jazzy, and we're going to be soulful too. And this could be a brand new single in 1984 for Dayton.
And by this stage, you weren't just hosting regular shows. There were also memorable interviews with the likes of Bobby Womack.
Yeah, I have. Everyone knows I have a real soft spot for Bobby Womack. But Bobby knew that I knew that he made a lot of the stuff up. I mean,
is that right?
Yes. Altrina Grayson was one of his best lies, and she was the voice on a track, a fantastic voice. And he tells his story that he heard her singing in a burger bar and at an airport, and approached her and said, you know, you've got a great voice, I want you on my record. And she agreed. Well, I mean, it's complete nonsense.
It's all over now, Bobby Womack and his brothers. They were called the Valentinos then. And I must ask you, Bobby, you wrote It's All Over Now when you were 16. Did you have Chuck Berry in mind when you wrote it?
I probably did, because that's what was happening then. And I was listening to his riffs. You know, and I just felt that that's what I wanted to do.
As well as this, we had Luther Vandross, Alexander O'Neill, Anita Baker. I mean, your show, Santa Sunday Night, and Anita, they just go hand in hand, don't they?
They did, yeah. Mm. And music for a candlelit dinner was very important. And one of the nicest things that happened as a result of that was a guy wrote to me, said, "You know what, Robbie, I was born because of that." He told me the story. He was born because Music for a Candlelit Dinner brought his mummy and daddy together to do things that produce babies.
Music for a Candlelit Dinner. Love is in season, the Detroit Spinners. That's for John Hanrahan and Mark Cooper continuing their missionary work in Shirebrook in Mansfield 1985. That was in their top 10. And before that, I Didn't Mean It At All from SASS, S-A-S-S.
And it also enabled me to actually meet James Brown. I mean, everybody would love to have met James Brown. And I did. I sat in a hotel room with him in Park Lane. He talks like a machine gun. And again, I'm not sure all the stories he tells are quite true, but I don't mind if he lies. I mean, he's James Brown, isn't he? He can do that.
This is James Brown. I want to say thank you to Radio 1 and all the staff there. Papa's got a brand new bag. I feel good. And I'm real because it's a sex machine.
Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
This Saturday at 2, the start of a funky three-part series, The Godfather of Soul, the James Brown story. With words from the Godfather himself and his musical mafioso like main man Bobby Bird.
People say a lot of things, but I'll tell you what's the truth, because I was there.
You know you're out of sight.
I've been all over town. There's one thing I found. If you want to get down, you got to find James Brown.
Get down with The Godfather of Soul, the James Brown story with me, Robbie Vinson, on Radio 1 this Saturday at 2.
I feel
It's one of the classic Radio 1 series of that time, when obviously the radio station was making more and more documentaries. A lot of them went on to win awards. They're still getting repeated to this day. The James Brown Story, a former guest on this show, Kevin Howlett, the producer of that show. And I think Kevin, it's fair to say, one of the great Radio 1 documentary makers.
He got me to do the... Not got me. He asked me to do the James Brown Story, which I was very pleased he did.
Eugene Wilde, personality, going to be his new 45 in 85.
It was imperative as a purveyor of music, as being able to share music with people in such a big living room, it was imperative and important that you championed new stuff, which I did. To this day, I would still, if I was still doing a regular show now, I'd still be championing new stuff because it was so important. Because, you know, like the OJs were new at one stage, Teddy Pendergrass was new at one stage, the whole Philadelphia International movement following on from Motown was important. And these artists on there, Lou Rawls, they all needed exposure, which in my small way, I hope I helped to reach as many pairs of ears as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't just bedding in new talent and giving a showcase to up and coming artists, but I think it's fair to say you're too modest to admit this, but you were also incredibly supportive to other broadcasters. And I mean, Jeff Young made his way into Radio 1 because you had been so supportive of him at BBC Radio London.
That's nice of you to say that. I never really
Jeff most definitely would say that.
Okay, well it was lovely to it was great. I was very, very happy that Jeff properly carried the flag on.
And those Mays boys busy in the studio making a brand new album. No Rhythm Butters is safe. They are all winners.
The All Winners Show.
I loved them. And the All Winners Show was an example of what people listening to my program loved and liked. And it gave me an opportunity to see what they'd picked up on and what they hadn't. Great stuff. Loved it. Absolutely. They ran the show, and I liked that very much.
The Crusaders, with a little bit of help from Bobby Womack, inherit the win. They are all winners. Next one up is for Alex and Sharon Lawrence from the Isle of Sheppey in Kent. Just back from some winter sunshine in Tunisia. It couldn't be Grover Washington and Bill Withers, could it?
You developed a little bit of a double act during this period with Radio 1's Reggae Goddess, the Ranking Miss P, the P&V show, which was a bit of a highlight on the seasonal schedule.
Yeah, well, she was essential to Radio 1. Essential, with a capital E, and should have been there a lot sooner than she actually was, because Radio 1 desperately needed to broaden, and Johnny Beerling did that. He could see that I broadened it, and definitely Miss P, and I was a huge fan. I'm delighted she was there, and she should still be there.
Some of the real stuff. Prince Philip Mitchell from his Stateside album Devastation, In Her Own Way. Stereo Radio 1, it's a minute and a half to 10, and the satellite will be launched. I've been having terrible trouble with the Ranking Miss P. She wanted to borrow it, and I said, no, you can't have my satellite.
You're so unkind. Coming up now, Nearest Joseph, One Night Stand.
And your Radio 1 career then came full circle, because it all started in 1977 with that series on a Saturday evening, and you moved from Sunday to the sound of Saturday night for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, that's when I had the wonderful Roger Scott and Fluff Freeman. I was sandwiched between them. And talking, you know, about the egos having been blown away, I was very lucky, you see, because I didn't have to deal with all that nonsense.
Dedicate that to Mark Devlin from Whitney in Oxfordshire. And Mark says, Robbie, pleased to report. The soulful rhythms are mashing up my speakers, really giving the bass bins a tremble, because he sneaked over to the Midlands FM transmitter and he said, it must be good. Me mum, she's back to bashing on the ceiling again. Welcome. It's nice to be able to hear the tunes and hear the rhythms. FM is coming your way soon. It is the only way to listen to the sound of sound.
When do you think it was when you left the network? Seeing as you can't, you know, really remember something.
I would think I probably filled the 80s.
You did?
And fell off the diving board in the 90s. Is right at the beginning?
Well, if I said to you that you were there until the very last weekend of the 1980s, your final show was on the 30th of December 1989. So when you say you filled out the 80s, you're quite right.
Gosh, fell off the diving board in the beginning of the 90s.
We got a little bit of the last show. Shall we have a listen?
Yes.
Now, the last one on the last Sound of Saturday, selected by, amongst others, Michael Frost from Connaught Avenue, written on CN Essex. Thank you for your ideas, Michael. And thank you, of course, for all your lovely letters and stuff. And it's a bit of a sad moment, this, because I'll miss sharing my big record player with you. But maybe we'll meet musically again in the near future. Robbie Vinson wishing you a funky 1990. Remember, no surrender. Keep it soulful. Around the world in 80 beats. It's Andy Peebles after this.
So there it was. It all began 1977. It continued in 78. You were back again, beginning of 1984, and there, right to the very end of the decade. When you look back at your time at Radio 1, particularly during such a golden period, you must feel very proud.
I feel very lucky to have been able to share, to have the biggest bedroom in the world to share my music with ears. And it is the ears that make the decision as to whether they want to listen to what you're playing. They obviously wanted to hear what I was playing because I was there for quite a long time. And it was a golden period and the biggest radio station in the world. And there's little me, you know, being able to do what I did. So I feel grateful and humbled more than anything, I have to say. Lucky boy, Robbie.
Robbie, it's so lovely to see you, and thank you for guesting on my Radio 1.
Okay, don't forget, if it moves,
funk it.